Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive. This is the PwC podcast, and we've got a really important mission today. Seriously, this could change how you look at your morning alarm, your commute, even your social media feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're jumping into how you can take the most, well, ordinary parts of your day, the stuff that just feels like filler, you know?
The mundane.
Right. And transform that into moments of real, profound spiritual impact.
It's such a common tension, isn't it? We often think, or maybe we're conditioned to think, that ministry is this big event. It happens on a stage or during some highly organized outreach program.
Yeah, the official stuff.
Exactly. But when you talk to people who are genuinely making a difference, they often say the real work, the real influence, it happens quietly every single day.
And it's the core challenge we're hitting today. Our source material, focusing on insights from the Ministry of Everyday Moments, really pushes back against splitting our lives into compartments.
Right. Spiritual life over here, normal life over there.
Yeah. So we're exploring how those quiet places, maybe that frustratingly slow line at the grocery store or quick phone call with a family member when you're tired, or just, you know, really listening to a colleague at lunch.
Those are the moments.
Those are the actual settings for deep spiritual growth and influence.
So our mission for this deep dive isn't just theory. We want to pull out practical, actionable strategies. How can you, listening right now, live with this kind of robust daily intentionality?
So that your small acts, your wisdom, your grace, they maximize your influence.
Right. No matter where you are or what your job title is.
Okay. Let's dig into the foundation for this. It starts with the call to intentional living. We see this powerfully in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul lays it out pretty clearly.
He does.
He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil."
What just jumps out immediately is that phrase, "walk carefully." It's an urgent command, isn't it? Pay attention.
Yeah. Don't just wander through.
Exactly. Paul seems worried about us just drifting, kind of like being on spiritual autopilot, where everything we do is just a reflex, not a choice.
Right.
He wants us to live deliberately. Every word, every reaction, even how we act in traffic, it tells a story about who we really are.
I like that analogy you mentioned before about walking a rocky path.
Yeah.
Where just one careless step can send you tumbling.
Yeah, that's the picture.
But let's bring that forward.
Yeah.
If Paul were writing this today, how would he talk about spiritual autopilot when, I mean, our whole modern world notifications, algorithms, constant feeds, it feels designed to eliminate the pause, right? To pull us into just reacting instantly.
That's a really insightful question. And it points to, I think, the most crucial strategy here, creating that deliberate moment of pause.
Okay.
Our sources really emphasize this. Intentional living, it's forged in that tiny space, maybe just a millisecond, between something happening to us and how we respond.
So before you fire off that angry comment online.
Yes. Or before you hit send on that really emotional email or, you know, react with frustration to the person who just cut you off in traffic.
You need to create space.
Yeah.
Like a mental breath.
Exactly. A pause. And in that space.
What happens there?
An assessment.
Right.
A quick check-in. The question you ask yourself is simple, but it's transformative. Does this reaction, this word, this post, does it align with Christ's character in me? If you can cultivate that discipline, just enforcing that tiny delay, maybe 2 seconds, you suddenly gain control over where that moment goes.
And that deliberate choice, that intentional move, that's what Paul calls wisdom. Not as unwise, but as wise. We often mix that up, don't we? Thinking wisdom means being the smartest person in the room or knowing the most theology.
Oh, absolutely. And that misunderstanding can really paralyze us.
Yeah.
In the Bible, wisdom isn't just about raw intelligence. It's more like operational intelligence.
Okay, operational. How so?
It's defined by application. It's about taking the truth you know about God and consciously, deliberately applying it to the, well, the messy, mundane choices of your actual day.
So it's the difference between knowing patience is good.
Right.
And actually choosing to be patient when the checkout line is barely moving and you're already late.
Precisely. That's wisdom in action.
So the contrast becomes really stark then. Unwise living is just the easy way. It chases comfort or convenience or maybe what's popular.
It's a path of least resistance.
But wise living involves a deliberate choice. It steps into that pause and asks, okay, how can even this moment, this boring meeting, this frustrating interaction, how can it bring glory to God?
Yeah. It's about choosing to obey better right where you are in the circumstances you're already facing, not just waiting for some perfect future moment or thinking you need to know more first.
Okay. So wisdom is about doing, not just knowing.
That's a great way to put it. And that discipline, that choice to apply truth, leads us directly into Paul's next instruction, making the most of every opportunity.
Right.
The language here is incredibly active, very dynamic. It's often translated as redeem the time, but it has this forceful feel to it, like proactively buying back every moment for good.
Buying back time. That sounds intense. It suggests our time is always sort of slipping away or being wasted on unimportant things.
It does have that urgency.
But doesn't that put a huge amount of pressure on people listening?
Yeah.
Like, does every single second have to be some major evangelistic push or a big outreach project? That sounds exhausting.
That's a really important point. And I don't think the source material intends to create pressure like that. It's meant more to inspire availability. Readiness.
Okay.
If we connect it to the bigger picture, redeeming the time means using every chance, however small, to show love or compassion or grace. It reframes our ordinary interactions.
Like those examples you mentioned from the source,
yeah.
They're almost laughably simple, but they hit hard.
Mm.
We're not talking about launching a global initiative here. We're talking about maybe sending a quick text, just, hey, thinking of you, to someone who might need it.
Totally unprompted encouragement.
Or taking, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
To offer a specific, focused prayer for someone who just popped into your head.
Instead of just letting the thought drift away.
Right. Or just offering a genuinely kind word, not just a grunt, to the server who looks exhausted. Or the cashier who seems like they're having the worst day.
And we shouldn't dismiss these things as just coincidences. The sources frame them as potential divine appointments.
Divine appointments. I like that.
Or holy interruptions. When we commit to walking carefully, to pausing, our eyes become open to these small windows of opportunity.
So our purpose isn't just about sticking to our schedule perfectly.
No. It's also about being available for whatever small, impactful mission God might place right there in the middle of our normal day. These moments, they might seem tiny to us, but in God's economy, they can carry eternal weight.
Okay, pausing here for a moment. If this idea of transforming your daily grind through these divine appointments and walking with real intentionality is hitting home for you, and maybe you're looking for a community that's really focused on applying these kinds of spiritual truths together, well, we'd love for you to connect with us. This is exactly the sort of thing we explore at Pittsford Wesleyan Church, PWC. We really invite you to check us out. You can find us online, of course, or even better, stop by in person and dive deeper into these themes with us.
Now, let's get back to the context Paul gives for this urgency. He ends that command with a line that can feel, well, kind of heavy, because the days are evil.
Yeah, that part. It can sound pretty demoralizing, can't it?
It can.
It almost sounds like a reason to retreat, you know? Batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
Why bring up the darkness if the goal is to encourage us to engage?
That's fair. But the source material suggests we should see this not as a reason for fear or pulling back, but more as a call to focus.
Okay, explain that. A call to focus.
Well, think about it. If the world around us feels like it's getting noisier, more distracting, maybe darker in some ways, then the light we carry, the light of Christ in us, it actually becomes more essential.
Ah, I see. So the contrast makes it brighter.
Exactly. It becomes more visible, more needed. The challenging environment doesn't negate our mission. It highlights it.
So the conclusion then isn't hide. It's more like your influence matters even more now. You don't need some official position or a big platform.
Precisely. You're not disqualified from making a difference just because you don't have a specific title or a stage or a microphone. Your real qualification is your availability and your choice to walk wisely.
That connects so well with what Jesus himself taught, doesn't it? In Matthew 5, that famous salt and light idea.
Yes.
He looks at his followers and says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It's a statement of identity.
And this is where we see that quiet influence really play out. Notice, Jesus didn't command us to, like, shout about how good we are or draw attention to ourselves aggressively.
No, he didn't.
He simply states that when we commit to him, when we live wisely embodying his love, his truth, his patience, we naturally stand out. Our light shines as a consequence of who we're becoming in him.
Not because we're trying super hard to be noticed.
Right. It's inherent.
It reminds me of the mechanics of it. Salt doesn't make noise, does it? It just changes the flavor, preserves what it touches. It works quietly from within.
Exactly. And light doesn't need to brag or argue with the darkness. It just shines. And where it shines, darkness is displaced. It's simple physics, almost.
Huh.
So therefore, when you practice humility, integrity, peace, genuine, quiet love in your everyday interactions at work, at home, mm-hmm. online, your life itself becomes this powerful testament.
You don't have to be performative.
No need to shout. Your intentional living becomes, as the source calls it, a living sermon.
A living sermon.
Yeah. And it quietly says, hey, don't look at me. Look at the difference Christ makes in me.
That totally shifts the focus. It's
yeah.
not about performance. It's about consistent character flowing from who we are in Him.
Okay, so if we accept this challenge, redeem the time, pause before reacting, be this quiet salt and light, we need something concrete, a starting point.
We do.
And that brings us to this idea you shared, the 3-minute mission. Tell us about that. Right. So this strategy is really about overcoming inertia. You know how sometimes we feel like we need a whole hour or a perfectly quiet morning to really connect with God or serve someone?
Yeah. And so we end up doing nothing because it feels too big.
Exactly. We put it off. The 3-minute mission tackles that head on. It challenges you to commit just 3 minutes every single day to one specific intentional act that reflects the character of Jesus.
Okay, 3 minutes. But is that enough? It sounds almost too small to make a real difference.
But it's about consistency, not necessarily intensity right off the bat. The power isn't in the length of time initially, but in the frequency of the discipline.
Okay.
3 minutes is almost impossible to justify skipping, right? It builds spiritual muscle, creates a habit of awareness.
Like starting small at the gym.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And if you commit to just 3 minutes of genuine intentionality daily, well, that's 21 minutes of focused, God-honoring action every week. It breaks that all-or-nothing thinking that tells us only the grand gestures count.
Okay, I'm warming up to it. Let's get really specific. What kind of micro-missions are we talking about in those 3 minutes?
Oh, they're beautifully simple applications of that wisdom and love we talked about. Maybe it's offering a quick, sincere compliment to a family member or a colleague, especially someone you tend to overlook.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or sending that short, encouraging message, text, email, whatever, to a friend you haven't talked to in ages.
Yeah.
Taking 60 seconds right then and there to pray specifically for someone who just crossed your mind.
Instead of just saying, I'll pray for you and forgetting.
Right. Or maybe the hardest one for many of us. When you feel that surge of impatience in traffic, in a queue, on a slow website, intentionally pause, take a breath. And choose radical patience. Choose grace over hurry, just for that moment.
These really are small, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I can see how doing them consistently.
Exactly. These small, consistent, quiet acts they accumulate. They build into a lifetime of influence.
You're not going to single-handedly change the world overnight. That's just overwhelming and frankly not our job description alone.
Right. That's God's work.
But you absolutely can change someone's day, maybe even your own day. When you commit to walking wisely, intentionally, moment by moment.
And that's the goal, isn't it? Letting your light shine, not through performance, but through the consistent, humble application of God's truth. Turning those everyday, sometimes chaotic moments into those quiet, profound, living sermons. Just keep looking for the small windows.
Lord, help us. Help us to be careful how we live, to walk with your wisdom. Making the most of every single opportunity you place before us. Please open our eyes to see those quiet small moments today, this week, and let our words, our actions, even our pauses reflect your love and your truth in every encounter. Amen.
Amen. And as you go through your week, we really hope you notice those moments. Maybe where you chose wisdom when convenience beckoned or chose patience when reaction felt easier. Just remember, your character lived out consistently is perhaps your most powerful platform.
That's so true. And hey, if this deep dive encouraged you today, maybe think about sharing it. Pass it along to someone else who needs that reminder that their small everyday moments really truly matter.
Mm-hmm.
The way you live today, quietly and intentionally, it might just be the most powerful sermon someone around you hears all week.
Well said.
Thank you so much for listening to the PWC podcast. We'd love for you to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. Until next time, keep shining in your everyday moments.